This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
On the outside, it's a simple Christian gesture. Hey, Jesus loves you. But it was in his heart to do that. And it went right on time. You have no idea what that man might have cried out earlier. You have no idea what he was thinking through his mind. You have no idea what the devil right then was devaluing him and telling him what he probably ought to and ought not do. And right in the middle of that crazy stuff, Jesus sneaks through the mouth of someone so non-assuming. I love you. Come on, every one of us can do that. Oh, simple. It's kingdom, sowing seed, going to sleep by night and you don't have a clue. You don't know how in the world, because God is all-consuming fire. He's unsearchable, immeasurable love and wisdom. He's amazing. When I heard a testimony of God raising a witch doctor 6 hours dead from the dead, who died cursing God and cursing the minister, and God raised him from the dead 6 hours later, that blows everybody's theology out of water.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise the Lord. It is another beautiful day. Today on our program, we are having once again Dan Mahler from the School of Power and Love. Now, in the school, I have learned a fresh dynamic approach to understanding the gospel that Jesus instituted and demonstrated 2,000 years ago. Now, in a school, we learn by example that the gospel is best presented as a supernatural act of deliverance and healing. Now, that's in the Bible. If you remember Jesus' ministry, we can read how before he began a series of teaching, he began with a demonstration of God's healing and delivering power for the people. It was an act of God's exceptional love and willingness to intercede in our lives and bodies. And that's what we're presenting today. So, once again, here he is, Dan Mahler.
The sign follows the believer, not the person you're ministering to. The believer carries the authority. You don't have to have a clue. The believer carries the kingdom. That's why everybody Jesus touched was healed. Not because of their faith, because he knew who he was without a crisis of identity, without insecurity, without the fear of man. He knew where he came from, he knew where he was going, and when he touched, things happened. And it had nothing to do with people except that God loved them, and that's why he was here. And don't tell me we can't follow him because he said to. See, we've made it all about their faith, their attitude, their unbelief. We actually think if they talk negative, they can't receive from God. Well, they don't know anything. They've been discouraged for 10 years. They don't even believe in God. You're supposed to help them with that. I'm supposed to help them with that. Right? Come on, we're not trying to get them to theologically agree. The gospel's not word only. 1 Corinthians 4:20, it's not word only. It's power. Right? Now watch. If it had to do with them, you wouldn't be able to give it. Give them the kingdom. They'd have to change first, and that would be works. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, come on, this thing makes it so simple. You got to lock into that, guys. We got to all lock into that and not let anything dissuade us. Man, they could stand there. You can't even recount and retract the people that have said, well, I don't believe in that. Well, I don't believe God does that. Well, I don't even believe in God. Now, this would freak out the old school evangelistic mindset when you smile at them and say, that's okay, I'm not even asking you to. That's not why I want to pray. I believe, and I just want to touch you and pray. Because watch, when they're telling you they don't believe, and you realize that that has nothing to do with nothing, and you pray and give them Jesus in the face of what they don't believe, and now what they don't believe comes to pass, oops. It's so fun. They get this look. They almost all get the same look. And you're like, really blew up your belief system, didn't it? So what do you think now? I remember Todd said one time, because when he said it, I thought, oh my goodness, because he didn't say it smart. He said, what do you think of them apples? And the person was like, oh my God. And he used that old phrase, what do you think of them apples? It wasn't like, I told you so. He was just like saying, wow, really flipped you out, didn't it? Because you weren't expecting nothing, but he came. I've seen a few people cross their arms and act a little indignant and say, well, you can pray if you want, but ain't nothing going to happen because I told you I don't believe in this stuff. Well, can we pray now? I've heard Todd literally say, look, that's fine. Let's just pray and see what's real. Hey, just give me your hand and let's get it on. See, that's because there's no identity crisis. And he understands the will of God is yes and amen, period. So let's just give him the kingdom. And let's stop trying to get them on page and nod their head when we do. Let's just give them Jesus and it'll change the direction of their nod. Right? See, because wonder if my goal, who knows that I want every man to believe ultimately, but wonder if my first contact goal isn't to get them to become a believer, it's to love them and give them the kingdom. Because isn't that what leads them to be a believer? What's the goodness of God do? Leads people to a change of mind and a change of heart. We're so caught up trying to get people to change what they believe by expressing our convictions that we've gotten into theological debates. So you can sit for a whole hour at a coffee table and talk your theology and they'll just talk back their belief system. And unless Holy Spirit shows up in an amazing way and does something, it's usually just a back and forth debate and you can believe that, you know, somewhere your words got in. But the Bible doesn't even say that. He says, whatever city you go into, heal the sick there. That's Jesus's way. Now, we have so many issues on healing, and people haven't been healed, and God doesn't always heal. We've gotten so much controversy now because we've judged God based on our own experiences and all this wrong thinking over the years and how we've taken it all personal to where in some circles it's hard to even talk about healing and faith because there's so much hurt and loss in the congregations. I'm just being real. The worst you can do is crucify me. You'll never kill me. Yeah, you can crucify me, but I won't die. Oh, that's so fun. Serious, you can stone me. You can get out the rocks and stone me, but that's our personal hurts, personal sentiments, personal feelings, protecting our certain go-throughs to try to emotionally stabilize ourselves to continue on. But when we're doing all that survival stuff, it's at the cost of blatant truth that Christ revealed. And truth's what makes us free. And that's why we have to die so we can even face this stuff. Because if we don't get out of the way, we're too touched wrong and too much brokenness and loss and hurt and confusion. We can't even talk straight. Because, well, don't tell me because I prayed. What are you saying? They didn't have faith. You can't even scratch some of this stuff with people because they have so much walls built around them to defend their loss. And none of that was in Jesus's life and experience. It's unfortunately been in ours, but there's a way to get through that by looking back to truth, getting back to truth, continuing in the Word, know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Come on. If he said, well, let's just do this real quick. The kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed. He's going to sleep at night and rise in the day. The seed should grow. Watch this process. The seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. So who knows that Holy Spirit is amazing? Who knows that he's here to convict the world? That word means convince. Convict is convinced, to shine light upon. So Holy Spirit's here to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So you sow truth into somebody and Holy Spirit goes right to work. And you're sleeping and even 2 weeks later, he still won't let that word out of their head. They're waking up in the middle of the night and hearing that word. They had two dreams about that word and you think it was some insignificant little comment and God's using it to transform their lives. It's right here in your Bible. I'm so pumped. This thing is real. But it takes faith, or you can get cynical or analytical or intellectual, but I don't encourage you to go that route. That route's never done mankind any good. The quest for knowledge just put us in fig leaves and ran from God. You follow me? Man, I feel intense right now for some reason. Well, I do. I feel real militant right about now. It's like, we got to get back to him. He's the way. And God was so gracious to send him and manifest the way it is. Not the way it was and the way it's going to be, the way it is. Nothing's changed. God's the same. Everybody Jesus ever touched. Boom. Until that's our experience, we're still growing, huh? Well, don't stop the process with natural, rational thinking. Enjoy the ride and the process. Enjoy growing into Him in all things to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Why? Because we haven't arrived yet to that place. But we're growing if we won't change our mind. Now, for how long has the church changed her mind based on circumstances? One simple thought. Well, yeah, but I prayed and believed. You can't tell me I didn't believe. God had to have other plans because I believed. So now you're overriding a whole bunch of scripture through your feeling of belief. When the Bible says the proof of faith is the manifestation of a mountain moving, or the receiving is the proof of believing. But we can hardly talk that way because we get offended, because what are you saying? We have our books on reasons why men aren't healed. Jesus didn't have any of those books in his back pocket. The only reason we wrote the books is because we're trying to explain intellectually our experiences. Unfortunately, it's at the cost of truth, and truth makes us free. Because as soon as you embrace one of those reasons, you put a ceiling over the release of the kingdom in your life. And you have guaranteed the same results for the rest of your life. And you can't grow now because you believe this, that, or the other. And yet you have Jesus' life saying something different. So who do we follow? Our circumstances or his life? Look, if he's magnified his word above his name, we probably ought to magnify his word above how we feel and think. Even though it's real, even though we've suffered, not one of us in this room hasn't suffered some sense of loss through family, sickness, life, all of us. Please don't single yourself out and give yourself a right to hurt more than your neighbor. That's the trap. The people sitting around you might have been through more hell than you. So please don't compare yourselves among yourselves. That doesn't make your belief system right. Justifying your pain just gives you a reason not to live in truth. That's where the just have to live by faith. That's where sometimes you have to buckle down and say, you know, it's been a tough road and it even feels unfair. But you know what's been unfair? I was lost and Jesus came and found me. I was in my own will and he's introduced me into his. I was dead and he made me alive. There's things I did willful in my life and he's given me a right to get it right. God, thank you. That doesn't seem fair either, but I'm glad you came. You know, you got to flip this thing and get your eyes off of every reason to be less than truth. I'm telling you, there's so much psychology involved in some of that. Some of us think, well, I'm not where I should be because of so-and-so-and-so. It's the biggest lie on the earth. Biggest lie on the planet, letting your identity rest on another person when your identity is solely through Jesus Christ. It'd be nice if they'd love you. It'd be nice if they'd treat you right. It'd be nice if everything was like that. That isn't the determining factor of our lives, church. It's that Christ came. It's because somebody did you wrong that you thought would never do you wrong. Doesn't give you a right to be less than Christ. You can justify it all day and you can find sympathy from Christians, but it won't grow you spiritually. It'll give you permission to stay in a bind, and in time, that'll produce some sour fruit. Come on, I'm talking straight and plain. Is it all right if I'm just real? See, because all this stuff affects your ability to be a kingdom sower. Because now you're all caught up in your own issues, waiting for your own stuff to line up. Wonder if it's already okay in the midst of trial, just because my ducks aren't in a row. Come on, there's a lot of things I'd like to see change in my personal life, period. There's things in my family I'd love to see come into alignment across the board. Who knows, there's people that you wish would love Jesus more. There's people you wish that wouldn't put themselves through the hell they do. There's a whole lot of stuff that makes your heart cry when you look at it face value. But what does that have anything to do with me manifesting Christ today from a sincere heart? And if I'm only in this for God to put those ducks in a row, I'm way deceived and Satan will just keep messing with the ducks. If I can only have joy because my ducks are in a row, I'm deceived. I have joy because I'm living the life that Jesus lived. Remember that my joy would be in you and your joy would be full. Why? Because you're living a life of love, giving up yourself for others. So as soon as you embrace that, it puts a clearer view on your life. We got to go back to this healing thing. That's where I'm supposed to go. But I want you to see this last thought. This guy's going to sleep by night and the seed's going to sprout and it's going to what? It's going to grow. And he himself does not know how. It's a working of the Spirit. It's supernatural. I was telling the girls on the way back some little simple stories that aren't just small. I was with the guy from Global and we were up in the Harrisburg, I think it was actually Camp Hill area. And yeah, I'm remembering the intersection now. It's exactly where it was. It was in Camp Hill. And we were at a traffic light, and he said, hold up. We were talking. He said, hold up a minute. And he hit the window down, And he said, "Yo, man, hey." And the guy's here at the sound booth standing at a bus stop. He said, "Hey, man, I just wanted to let you know, I felt led to tell you, Jesus really loves you, man. He loves you a lot." And he just wound up the window. And the guy's like, "Oh, okay, oh my God." And he like turned, he's like, "Okay." And he's like embarrassed looking. And he looked at me and said, "Man, I hope I didn't freak him out." And I said, "That's all right." And we're there laughing, talking. I look back and the guy's motioning. He's all emotional. He turns the window back down. He says, "Listen, man, I need to tell you. When you said that, I know I turned and stuff, but you don't know how much I needed to hear that." And he's like barely able to talk. He's ready to lose it. "You have no idea. I don't go on into detail what surrounds that. You have no idea how much I needed to hear that, what you said right now. Man, thank you. I needed that today." And he's like losing it, ready to bawl. On the outside, it's a simple Christian gesture. "Hey, Jesus loves you." But it was in his heart to do that. And it went right on time. You have no idea what that man might have cried out earlier. You have no idea what he was thinking through his mind. You have no idea what the devil right then was devaluing him and telling him what he probably ought to and ought not do. And right in the middle of that crazy stuff, Jesus sneaks through the mouth of someone so non-assuming. "I love you." Come on, every one of us can do that. Oh, simple. It's kingdom, sowing seed, going to sleep by night and you don't have a clue. You don't know how in the world, because God is all-consuming fire. He's unsearchable, immeasurable love and wisdom. He's amazing. Watch, that one guy at the bus stop is one out of how many billion people on the earth? They say there's at least 7.5 billion, right? Something like that. They always hear different numbers. Some say it's closer to 8, some say it's 7, I don't know. Billions a lot, however many that is. 1 billion and 7 is almost like, whoa, a billion, I can't even relate. So there's billions of people, true? Billions. And God is tweaking the heart of a man to wind down his window and say, "Jesus loves you," right in the nick of time. That means something to me. He knows everything and everybody. And we're walking around feeling insignificant. Blood was already shed. He's one guy in human thinking. He's one little guy. But to God, he's precious and priceless. To God, he's worth the blood of his own son. And God's taking the time to tweak a heart, speak through a mouth, and seal something in a guy. Ho, 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 ho. That's our God. We ought to worship him, huh? With our whole being. So watch this. This thing sprouts and grows and he doesn't know how. For the earth, look at this. The earth yields crops by itself. So the crop is yielded. So this is a working of the Spirit. It's an analogy to a sowing into a man. So if I go out in the spring and till my dirt and put seeds in, who knows that now I've done what I can do? And who knows that now the earth by itself, what? Brings forth according to the labor of what I've sown. There's a time I tell a story a lot. There was a time I planted beans. Beans are the easiest thing to grow in the world. Who's ever grown string beans? You can't go wrong. You put a bean in the ground, you got beans. That's what they use in school to put in the little cups because they're 100%ers, man. They're sprouting. Kids are not discouraged. "I killed the seed." No, no. Beans will sprout. They use them little beans. Who's ever did that in school in a paper towel and stuff and you watch it germinate or down the side of the cup and it's the bean. It's always a bean. So I plant these beans. Beans come up in days, man, especially when the weather's right. Well, I put them in the spring and I get away with, I do things pretty early because I'm just like, yeah, I can't wait to garden. So I got my beans out there 2 weeks, 2 weeks. I don't have a bean up out of the ground, 2 weeks. So you know what you do? You look with your eyes and you think with your mind. Bummer. Who's ever started looking with their eyes and thinking with their mind and got way off track? So guess what I'm doing now? Maybe I got a bad batch of beans. I hope they haven't been laying in there now too wet and they got rotted in the ground. And man, 2 weeks they should have been sprouted by now. I mean, I know I sowed them. I wonder why they're not sprouted. I'm thinking. Now I look out the window again. Man, these nights have been so cold. Maybe it's just cold. I don't know, man. I'm concerned. I bet I got a bad batch of beans. So I go out and I'm not thinking anything about this. I run out. I'm not talking to the Lord. It's not a spiritual moment in that sense. I just run out and I'm just thinking about my beans because if I need to replant, I need to So I'm looking. I got to the row. You know, you could tell where you planted them. And I knew about where I spaced them. So I took my finger and I started digging in the ground. And out comes this bean rolling out. And when it rolled out, it's just opening up. And that taproot straight down. It's that long. I popped it right out of the ground. Little taproot. So I killed the bean seed. Because it ain't going to grow now. I pulled it out of the ground. It was coming up. And as soon as it came up, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me in the yard. It's very emotional to me because it was so real. He said, my people do it all the time. I'm in the yard pulling out a bean thinking this ain't working. Nothing's happening. And it's right in the process of growing. We're believing for a loved one. We're believing for a relationship. We're believing for something. And we keep watching and looking and the clock's ticking and we're looking at the time instead of faith in our heart. And all of a sudden we're saying, well, maybe it wasn't the will of God. Well, I might well stop praying this because, well, I guess I missed it or God would have. How many things we could find out were just growing. And we dug out the taproot and reached in and let go of what could have been faith. He said, my people do it all the time. I'm kneeling now in my garden. I'm down like this. And the Spirit of the Lord's on me in my garden. And He speaks to me and uses this as an illustration. And intercession comes on me in my yard. And now I'm on a ball in the grass for a half hour crying in front of my neighbors over my beans. Boy, that guy must love his garden. He's got some issues. Beans didn't sprout and he's depressed. He takes his garden serious, buddy. Are you kidding me? I'm laying there realizing that Christian after Christian has leaned on intellect and human reasoning and subverted faith and stopped God's will and intent time and time again. God, have mercy on us and cause us to live from our heart and not our eyes. I lay out there for a half hour and cry for mercy and ask God to impart to us. It's called intercession. Why? Because that's the way the rational mind thinks. And all of a sudden, it's the voice Eve was listening to. And next thing you know, you eat what's forbidden and you, because it's logical. Wasn't that I sinned that day? God used it as a principle to show me what we do in the Spirit when faith's concerned. It was a powerful time. And them beans came up just like normal. Man, let's not let our knowledge puff us up. Let's let love edify. There's always a chance, isn't it? When I heard a testimony of God raising a witch doctor 6 hours dead from the dead who died cursing God and cursing the ministry, and God raised him from the dead 6 hours later, that blows everybody's theology out of water. Well, I don't believe he was dead in the first place. Well, that's the cynical unbelief thing. That just means you don't believe the word because the dead are supposed to raise. Well, how do I know they were healed? Well, you ought to believe it because it's all through your Bible. When you have a hard time believing the testimony of the Lord, you're just confessing you have a hard time believing His Word. Who cares if they're faking the healing and the man didn't have cancer? God still is Lord over cancer. Why am I so afraid of men's deception? I just need to believe Jesus. Because men stayed something, now God's fallible? Are you all getting what I'm saying here? 6 hours from the dead, a witch doctor raises, who hurt the ministry for 30 years, who killed a dozen ministers and missionaries, martyred them. He dies cursing God. You think, well, judgment's come. You had your day, pal. The minister said when he died, he celebrated and felt like God decapitated a Philistine king. He said, you get so in the heat of battle, you forget that he's a living soul. And you actually feel when he dies like there's great victory. And yet his son, who was saved 1 month, turned and converted from witchcraft, saved 1 month, rocked him for 6 hours, crying out, Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. That's all he said for 6 hours. Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. See, it wasn't his fancy prayer. It wasn't his theology. It was his heart of faith. Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. After about 6 hours, Holy Ghost said, you know, I probably ought to go raise this guy up because this kid ain't quitting. Something happened. Listen, at some point you cross the line into faith where that rocking for 6 hours isn't matter. Well, if he was going to be healed, he'd have been healed by now because I've been believing for six. No, you just keep believing. When Bartimaeus cries out, and Jesus looks like he's going to still walk, and he had every reason to not believe, that's when he found true faith, because he cried out all the louder in the face of every reason why not to cry out. And he didn't let human reasoning and rationale silence him. He got louder. And Jesus went, and he used to be blind, Bartimaeus. It's powerful. This witch doctor raised from dead. You know what happened to him? This bright light walked up to him, brighter than the sun. He said to the missionary, he said, Brother David, he said he had hair that was white as a lamb's wool. This man can't read or write. He's never read the Bible in his life. He's a witch doctor. He gave his whole life to sorcery and witch doctor stuff. David said he had gained so much power in the dark realm that people feared him so bad, he would point to you and say, you'll be dead in the morning, and you were dead. So everybody feared him and gave him all their stuff, and he ruled villages with that kind of power. See, they work with demonic stuff. They go in to villages and say, tomorrow that tree will be on the ground and not one leaf remaining, and you will know that I am this and that or other. And in the morning, the tree's on the ground with not a leaf. Why? Because a bunch of little imps went over there and sawed the thing down and plucked the leaves all night because they got nothing better to do. They're just waiting for hell and fire. So why not deceive people and get the people to believe their God? You'll be dead in the morning and the man's dead. You know what that does to a village that doesn't know Jesus? You know what that does to a village that claims to know Jesus? Because we value life so much. And we don't understand we're never going to die. So this man did some bad things. And guess what happened? He's laying, being held by the boy's prayers in a realm of mercy because he should have been burning already, right? And he just said he was just suspended in air, laying horizontal, flat, suspended in the middle of an expanse of nowhere. And he was aware, he was looking all around, and he was just suspended. He couldn't move, he didn't know what was going on. This brilliant light walked up to him, and he looked to see a man, he said, brighter than the sun. It's fascinating. He said his hair was white like a lamb's wool. He said, Brother David, his eyes were filled with flames and fire. He said, when I looked at his feet looked like the coals in our adobe ovens. And when he spoke, David, it sounded like when our rivers flood and the big rocks roll down the mountains. He said, and he looked at me with those eyes of fire. He said, my name is Jesus. I love you. And I woke up on my boy's lap. Jesus walks up to a witch doctor that died cursing him, that killed his servants, through the merciful prayers of a son that didn't know how to let go.
Oh, that was wonderful, Dan.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need.
Come fly with Global Air Force.